Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 325 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today, in part as a result of taking some time off for the 4th of July extended weekend, I ended up taking just about a week. We are going to repeat one of our classic episodes from the past. And this particularly interested in because one of the challenges I hear from folks a lot these days is the difficulty with hiring and onboarding staff members for their law firms. So we're going to hear from my friend Molly McGrath. Molly appeared on the program in episode 166 back in June of 2019, so a little while ago. But I just re-listened to the episode and she still has really important information to provide. She's the founder of a company called Hiring and Empowering Solutions. And really, the name says it all, how to provide a unique approach to answering two of the most critical questions that we have as solos. How do I go about hiring staff and how do I train my staff to support my organization? So it's a timeless episode, and I'm very happy to present it again. And I hope you enjoy listening to Molly McGrath if you haven't already done so before. So without any further delay, here is Molly McGrath.
Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 166 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual. Today, my guest is Molly McGrath. Molly is the CEO and founder of a company called Hiring and Empowering Solutions. And I think they have a very unique approach to two of the most critical questions that I hear repeatedly from solo and small firm practitioners. And that is, how do I go about hiring staff? And how do I go about training my staff to be support elements of my organization? And Hiring and Empowering Solutions has a very unique kind of take on outsourcing, frankly, this process to their company so that you can stay focused on what you do as the owner of the business. And they've really thought this thing out completely and have been providing services to attorneys for the past 20 years. So they know what they speak. I think it's brilliant. I hope you find it as interesting as I did. Without any further delay, from Colorado, here comes Molly McGrath. Molly McGrath, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted that you could join me here from the great state of Colorado, one of my favorite places. I mentioned to you in a previous call, I used to have an office in the Colorado Springs, and that was just one of the great places to work and to live and to visit in this country. And when I was even younger than that, lived just outside of Denver at Lowry Air Force Base. So I have an affinity for Colorado and all Coloradoans.
Ah, thank you. It's a beautiful state.
So tell our audience, Molly, a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yes, absolutely. So I am the co-founder of Hiring and Empowering Solutions that serves small solo law firms across the country. And back in 1997, I was fortunate enough to become a coach, and when that wasn't even a street term, especially in the legal field, and work with one of the greatest coaches in the legal space. And through speaking at national conferences, we would do little breakout sessions on how to create an entrepreneur, is the term that we use in an entrepreneur's world. And we did our very first presentations on the attorney team mindset to create an extraordinary practice. And it was a 90-minute breakout session at a national legal conference. And we walked out of that room and were absolutely clobbered in the hallway from attorneys all over saying, how can we clone you? How can we clone you? And that really was a birthing ground for our business.
Well, as I go around the country listening to attorneys, small firms and solo practitioners, the number one problem that I hear all over and all the time is concerns about staffing and you know, how to find good staff, how to go through the hiring process, how to evaluate staff, how to weed out bad staff, how to manage their staff and how to, make staff happy and productive and joyful. And so you've taken an interesting approach, I think, to that process in developing the hiring and empowering solutions. So why don't we kind of outline what your, services are and how you approach that challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest piece of our business is the staffing side, the hiring side. And to the points that you made, that's exactly why we started it, because we would hear from attorneys that it was very difficult. How do I get my employees to step up and lead? How do I get rid of employees that are not producing? Yada, yada, yada. So our business, what makes it very unique is that most of the time when people come to us, they've waited too long to hire or fire, and then they find themselves in a conundrum and really beating themselves up. We hear from attorneys all the time, I'm a horrible manager. And we say, if you're a great manager, then you wouldn't be an entrepreneur and owning a law practice. You would be in the management industry. And it's not that attorneys, from my experience, are bad managers. As we all know, they don't teach you those skill sets in law school. But it's really not having that system or process or structure to help you navigate how to teach your team to become what we call entrepreneurs, to really learn how to be the CEO, if you will, of a small law firm, regardless if they're the receptionist or the associate attorney within the practice. So our approach is very much hiring from a place of emotional intelligence, leadership, from a place of that they come with, we call batteries included. And that's step one. Once you have that framework in place and you know the right questions and you know the things to look for, which we blog about and talk about and have for the past 20 plus years, then you're hiring from a place of not desperation and or from an emotional mindset, but you're really coming from that business approach. And there is a methodology to that.
Well, it only stands to reason that if you want to look at profitability as one aspect of the of gauging how well you're doing, or just the hassle factor, on the other end of the spectrum, there's no question that getting the hiring practice or the hiring piece of this done correctly in the beginning is far more efficient in terms of profitability and less hassle and that kind of thing than trying to fix it on the back end. How do we trim staff that's unproductive, and how do we recover from our mistakes? And so viewing it from the beginning of this relationship rather than the end of the relationship, I think is what's really important. And what makes me, in my opinion, think that you guys stand alone in some respects is that you have a system for actually doing that on behalf of the client, as opposed to just saying, here's what you, Mr. Attorney, should be doing in the hiring process. You actually have a service, your Smart Hire Solution process, that does that for the attorney. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I oftentimes relate things to sports teams and their and you know, their structure. And I would kind of characterize the smart hire solution as like the personnel director for a professional, you know, sports team. You help bring in the right people at the right time.
And making certain that they do have, using the sports analogy, the coaching mindset,
right,
and that they're very, very coachable. That's one of the biggest pieces that we put them through in our hiring process. I'll use the word challenge, where we do challenge them quite a bit, because if they can't withstand it from the early process of the very first phone interview we do with them, there's no way they're going to survive in a law firm.
Yeah, so let's talk about the process that you would go through, because I think for a lot of attorneys who want to take their practice to that next level and they're ready to hire, or they have the, you know, we're going to already assume that the revenue is such that they can afford to hire, you know, a new attorney in particular or new staff. I think many of them would welcome the thought, you know, if I could outsource that process so that I'm just presented with one or two candidates that have met a certain level of criteria, that would be nirvana to me. So let's go through the steps that you go through to make that happen on their behalf.
Sure. So what we do is we craft the ad in a way that, this is the thing that I'm most proud of, in a way that will attract the right talents. We use very specific language. Most often we find attorneys are speaking about the duties of a job and they write a job ad, like a job description,
yeah,
versus an ad that is designed and intentionally designed to weed out the weak. The first step that we do is we never ever include salary. And that's the biggest mistake that I see people doing, because they shoot themselves in the foot sometimes of either maybe losing somebody who wants a dollar or two more an hour, and or they put this sliding range in somebody who really only needs, let's say, $40,000 a year to survive, but the ad says it's anywhere from 40 to 70. They're, of course, they're going to come in and say, well, I need 70.
Sure.
So we're not like traditional recruiters where we get commission based on annual revenue. It's a flat fee retained search. And that's why we do that too, is our best interest, as you said earlier, is 100% for the client, which is the law firm. So that's the biggest distinction there, is writing the ad like a way of people attracting the right mindset versus writing it from a place of job duties. And then from there, we put them through four different interviews before they even get in front of the attorney, including phone interviews in addition to video interviews. And it's very fascinating, because by the time they get to the really interview two or three, they've let their guard down, and people, the candidates, start to believe that we're working for them versus vice versa, working for the attorney. So their barriers are down and a lot of their true colors start to come out. It's very much, I always equate it to the dating process. Of course, the first date, you're on the best behavior. By the time you're on the third, fourth, what have you, then you start to get comfortable. And a lot of times we say the candidates tend to get sloppy, and that's where we can weed out. And many times by the time they get to third, fourth interviews where they disqualify themselves, only the superstars are the ones left standing. So then we put we give the attorney, ideally, hopefully, no more than three qualified superstar candidates to protect their time, give them very specific questions to ask. And what I love about our process is they can duplicate it. They can take the entire process. We give them every piece of it. So if, again, as their team grows, they don't have to become totally dependent on us. They can integrate this into their best practice approach within their law firm. And then they meet with the attorney, and then we debrief with the attorneys. And what I love about this piece is because I do have a 20-year legal coaching and consulting background. So I can integrate that. Most recruiters do not have a coaching and or consulting background. And I can bring that in there to support them, because a lot of times they, when in their debrief, when I have them say, what did you like? What didn't you like? Start debriefing. How do you see this in your daily practice? They say things that they don't realize. They say that I can help coach them through of why the person may or may not be a good fit based on where they're at, where their struggles are, where their bottlenecks are, et cetera. And then from there, another very distinguishing factor of our process is that once a candidate, we help with the negotiation phase. And then once a candidate does come in the office, this is a part that is so critical and crucial, because most often when lawyers are struggling with keeping employees, getting their employees to step up and lead and become profitable, it's not because they're typically bad people. It's the onboarding process is where we see 90% of the time it fails. And this is why we insist on the candidates going through our 60-day onboarding process, where we get on a Zoom and we do a initial onboarding goal setting. And then for the entire 60 days, we are coaching and consulting the team, the new candidate and the attorney on how to really be able to communication styles and clarify and verify their goals. And we do a 30-day and a 60-day growth plan and evaluation on each one. And this is really where the rubber meets the road, because a lot of times it's miscommunication and expectations. And once we can really help them to develop those skills, it could transcend throughout the practice for any existing and or future employees.
I use this phrase sometimes too often, but I just think that's brilliant. I think you have the whole schema from writing the ad in a way that solicits the kind of people that you're looking for, all the way through the vetting process, the winnowing process, getting it down to, you know, a handful of candidates that you know, before ever reaching the attorney themselves, and then putting them through, as I understand it, you know, some personality tests as well, DISC and Colby and the like, which in all candor, I haven't found as useful as others, but I'm starting to come around. The more often I take the same test assessment, and the closer it hits the mark in my own mind, the more value I'm finding in it. But you go through all that process, and then you know the challenge that small firms have and solo practitioners have is they really don't have anybody to talk to about the hiring decision. I've got three candidates. I've interviewed them. Plus, you've coached me through the interviewing process, which is a skill all in and of itself, and given me some pertinent questions to ask these candidates. But often, they don't have anybody to talk to about this. They don't have somebody, and certainly anybody with the skill set that you guys have, to help ensure that they're making the right selection. And then if that isn't enough, you walk them and hold their hand and insist that they have this standardized onboarding process that is the greatest, you know, discriminator for determining success of a new hire that you can have. So, I mean, I just think the end-to-end process that you've developed and that you provide is nothing short of brilliant.
Thank you. You know, as you were talking, it brought something else up to me too, the firing side of it, because so often I just had a conversation with an attorney yesterday that we did a placement for, and nine out of 10 times when I start getting these emails to say, hey, I'm a little concerned that so-and-so is doing X, Y, and Z, that's when I know, okay, this person's not a good fit. We're in day 14, day 21, whatever it is, and I'm already starting to get emails like this. And a lot of times attorneys will beat themselves up and say, well, I'm being too hard. I have unrelenting standards. I need to give them more times. And what I love about our process is much as I don't want to go back in and replace ads, that's money out of my pocket, and be able to put my recruiters through and pay my recruiters to go through the process, I will tell the attorneys they have to go. They're not a good fit. You're already sensing this. You're already seeing this. And sometimes it's a communication thing that I'll say, let's hop on a call and let me coach you guys through it. Test the waters, see your behavior, see their mannerisms on the Zoom. And then I can discern and make an informed decision then. But it's fascinating to me. What I love about our process is that if we didn't have that onboarding process, the attorneys hold on to, you always hear the statement of hire slow, fire fast.
Yeah.
It's this, they hold on. And I think a lot of times it's because of the pain of going through the hiring process again, number one, but also number two, which is always just warms my heart, is that the humanity side comes in and they're like, well, I'm not giving them enough time. I should be a little more graceful. And I say, no, you're running a business here. This isn't a daycare. You need to get rid of them and start all over. And the beauty of our process is that we do that for them.
Well, the other aspect of that is so often attorneys, you know, if they find out within, you know, a couple of weeks that this isn't working out, a lot of times they're beating themselves up. I made another wrong decision. Why mm-hmm. can't I get this right? So if I let that person go now, it's affirmation that I made a mistake. And so the inaction is the easiest and the path of least resistance. So they let it slide, and pretty soon you're 1 year down the road or 2 years down the road, and this person has cost you a lot of money, time, you know, and heartache.
And clients, yes.
And clients, oftentimes.
Yes.
You know, in my previous lifetime, you know, back when I actually had an office in Colorado Springs and flew back and forth across the country every other week, I did a lot of interviewing for a large staff. And that whole process is a skill. And what I see most often with attorneys when they bring candidates in to interview, if they haven't had the benefit of coaching like you offer, is that it's the attorney doing all the talking in the interview. And it's almost like the attorney auditioning for the candidate, as opposed to asking questions that require the candidate to discuss their skill set and their work style and what have you. So I think your coaching in that respect is invaluable for attorneys to help them make the right decision.
Yes. And I see so often when they are doing the talking as well, they go way too deep into the weeds in the beginning where they start talking about the day-to-day operations. They start talking about the ins and outs of the jobs and they sort of go down this tunnel versus asking questions and communicating. And I always say, use fact patterns, use case studies very much like you would in your law practice, and have them speak into how they would address it, how they would solve it, how they would navigate it and manage it, because they get seduced by the resume. And so often when we send attorneys resume, they'll say, well, I don't see this skill set or that skill set, et cetera. And it's the human stuff that usually is what it gets in the way. So you have to hire and you have to interview and you have to choose from the behaviorals, from the mindset, from the human stuff first and foremost. I always say you can always teach skills. You can always teach knowledge. It's very, very difficult to teach the psychology and the human side of things.
Yeah. You know, again, in that past life of mine, I had a management consultant in reviewing my management style said, well, he kind of runs a country club program there in the office. And I took that as a compliment because for me, as you said, you can teach the technical skills or you can acquire the technical skills. But if you don't have an environment that works with people that you can work with, the people that you can get along with, doesn't have to be a party all the time, but you have to be able to deal with those soft skills. Those are the ones that cause more problems than the lack of technical knowledge. And it's really apparent in law firms.
Absolutely. And many times I tell attorneys, what I find when they say so-and-so didn't work out, or when they call in for our discovery call, my very first question is, tell me about your weekly communication. Talk to me a little bit about the structure that you've set up for that. And I always say, if you just power down and have a weekly, what we call board of directors meetings, or you have consistent communication where you're checking in, what are your top three goals for the weeks? What are your priorities, sharing what yours are, et cetera, and really running it like a board of directors meeting. It's fascinating how you can transform a team. And when you're onboarding and bringing team on, they're human beings and they need communication and connection at the end of the day. And if a lot of times that's what I find is the biggest culprit in the practice is because everyone's just so focused on the billable hour. They're just so focused on revenue producing activity and pushing work out the door and just running on the hamster wheel all day versus just same place, same time each week. Stand-up meeting like they do in the military or a locker room huddle before you go on the Super Bowl playing field. It works. The methodology around it does work. And I often say, and this is just drive-by coaching tip for people, check in there if you're having some struggle in your team. It may be just power down and start there from a place of discovery to see if that can shift and transform.
Well, you know, as I said, I just think your approach is different than other coaches and other mentors and other programs in the sense that you actually do all of this on behalf of the attorney. You give them all the resources and tools so they can replicate it again down the line, or they can bring your company on board to do their subsequent hires. But I think that makes you stand apart. And is really significant. Takes a lot of concern off my shoulders. If I want to hire somebody, I want to, particularly my first hire, I want to get it right. And I feel 100% confident after talking with you and reviewing your website that that's the way I would go. And just, you know, for the record, we have no financial relationship. I just think it's a brilliant approach, and I would encourage our listeners, if you want a real succinct overview of this, you go to Molly's webpage, which is hiringandempowering.com. We'll have the note in the show notes. But the testimonials there, I loved your testimonials because, you know, you've got people there with their full name, their law firm, their website address, in some cases their email address, and explain their satisfaction with your company. And in particular, I'm just going to call out one of your clients, Matthew McClintock. He's the very first testimonial on your website. You read through that, and he describes the whole process of the Smart Hire Solution process. And to me, I just think that's social proof that what you're doing is spot on, and I commend you so highly for it.
Well, thank you. And it's our honor. We're really passionate about it. My greatest wish is to really be able to get the attorney and the support team and the employees on the same playing field because they ultimately want the same goal. Sometimes they just don't know how to communicate it and or get on the same page around that.
If you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you in part by the net profit CFO, Ryan Kimler. If that name sounds familiar, you might remember him as being a guest on episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, where we talked about his new company and how they can help you drive profit to your bottom line. I was so enamored by what Ryan had to say that I actually became a client. I called him up and said, I'm ready to take advantage of your expertise. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm now a very happy customer or client of the Net Profit CFO. But I'm also very pleased to welcome them as a sponsor to the show. So do you want to enjoy higher net profits without working longer or harder? As you learned in that previous episode, with just 9 simple numbers, Ryan will help you drive more profit to your bottom line, and he won't confuse you with all the details. If you want to increase your net profit, but don't like getting deep into the numbers, I highly recommend that you connect with Ryan. You can do that by going to netprofitcfo.com and download the Financial Clarity Dashboard. It's a great tool for getting the big picture of your financials. Now, the other piece of your business that, again, I think is brilliant here is you also address the other question that I hear so often, and that is an attorney says, okay, now I have this staff, I've got them on board, and they're all great, but I have an ongoing kind of communication and training process and interaction with the, with them. I don't know how to structure that. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to make that effective. And I really don't know how to empower my team. And you have a whole other element of your company that does just that. Isn't that correct?
Yes, the Team Empowerment Academy.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So the Team Empowerment, and we named this back in, 2000, before empowerment was a street term. And I know sometimes I hear employees or attorneys say, why would I want an empowered employee? And it's a CEO in training program in just simple terms, where we have a weekly masterclass for the employees only. We tried to mix it with the attorneys, and then the employees went and speak up. So once we removed the attorneys from it and created a safe container for the employees to come, what I love about it is that they will come usually emotionally charged about some situation that they're facing in the law firm, and we hold the space for them to be able to just get it all out there. And then our response and our direction and our coaching is always not from a place of manipulation, but from a place of a 2-millimeter shift to get them to sit and think like the business owner and get them out of what we call employee mentality and get them into that entrepreneur mentality. And it's really fascinating and so rewarding to see them make that shift and to de-energize a lot of the drama and the perspective from the employee and get them into the attorney perspective and get them to think and act like a business owner. From the perspective of the attorneys are always in the conference room, back-to-back meetings. And the biggest thing that we teach them is come to them with proposed solutions versus constant problems.
Yeah, and I just find this so fascinating because, as an attorney, I need to carve out time for my staff, but I don't have that time and I'm not really good at this. And I don't really want to spend the time to educate myself, to learn all of these skill sets that make for a good office management and team empowering environment. I want somebody to help coach me through that and or support me in that effort by meeting with my staff. I mean, if you said to an attorney, listen, you got some problems with your staff, we're going to bring in this crew and they're going to talk to your staff without you present, they're going to get to the bottom of a lot of things and move them, incrementally towards your goal and your vision. That'd be okay if we do that for you. I think they'd be jumping up and down and saying, yes, please do that for me.
Yeah, you would think that. But again, a lot of times their greatest fear, which I have complete appreciation for, is you're going to spend this time with my team and then they're going to show up at my desk asking for a raise, or they're going to show up and try to readdress the entire firm. And I appreciate that concern. And like I said, in 2000, we called it the team empowerment. That wasn't even a street term that people used. Yeah. And now I think there's a lot of negative connotation with that it means that they're going to show up demanding. And that's quite the opposite of really we want them, because the reason we came up with that term empowerment was the attorneys were always having to come to every meeting and come to the business with constant solutions. And the team would just sit there and show up, do what they're told, put their head down and collect their paycheck. And as a solo business owner, you can't afford to have just an employee on your team. You need somebody that has insight. They're answering your phone all day. You need them to have a voice to come to you and say, you know what? I think we should be doing this a little bit differently. why are we doing this in our intake process? And the attorney will say, I have no idea. I don't do intake. I'm counseling clients. If you have a better suggestion from efficiency and profitability, by all means, let's talk about it. Let's implement it. And that's really where the word empowerment came from us, because attorneys are trained to be very good attorneys, to be solution, you know, oriented, to be problem solvers, to be in the conference room, to be entrepreneurs. And a lot of times employees think that the business owner has all the answers. And the business owner is always thinking, why can't the employees have some answers or some suggestions or insight? I know my piece. I know my 80%, which is being with people, counseling existing and prospective clients and drumming up business. I really don't have a great system for how we should do our intake or answer the phone or process mail or whatever it is. So that's really where that term empowerment came to. We teach them how to protect your attorney's time and confidence and energy, and by all means, their calendar, because that's their greatest problem. And so that's really where we come from a place of come to them with suggestions, use your voice in an honest, well, respectful way, and help them out, because they're not only silently wishing that their employees were doing that, they're depending on you to do that. They're not paying you just to be doing what you're told.
You know, and it's, as the name Academy might suggest, that this is not kind of an ad hoc, figured out as we go along process that you offer. There is structure to the training that you're providing the team, as I understand it, is there not?
Yes, there is. There's a 12-week structure to teach them on everything around the calendar, around running the team meetings, around operations, around really being able to come to the attorney with proposed solutions, and running the day-to-day operations. So it's very methodically. We start with their mindset of getting them out of that employee mindset, which tends to come with a tremendous amount of, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth, entitlement. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing that we heard way back when we wrote our first books, that was a word we were hearing over and over again. They feel so entitled that I feel like the employees feel entitled. And that's the biggest piece that we work with in the beginning, is shifting their mindset. And then until you do that, it doesn't matter what skills or process or system you throw at them, they're going to reject it or resent it until they can embrace it and understand that why it's there for them.
So there's a number of different modules that you lead the team through. And I would think that if an attorney is really interested in creating systems and structure for their team and their firm to follow, that going through a multi-module academy with weekly conference calls with a coach such as yourself, I can think of no better way to jumpstart or maybe even completely finish that whole process of systematizing your office.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the other difficult areas, drawing on my previous life when I had a large staff, is the annual performance review. And I haven't heard of too many law firms that do a real good job of that. What are your views, and is that part of your coaching?
Yeah, it is. It's included in the Team Empowerment Academy, as well as the hiring process, where a lot of times when you hear the word review, I think many times why attorneys don't implement it, number one, they don't have a great structure, but number two, it causes a great amount of anxiety about, do I give them a raise? What warrants that? And then the employee is worried about if I'm going to go in there and get a raise, if I'm not. It's all wrapped around money and performance. So we shift that into calling it really a growth plan. And I recommend and feel very strongly about doing it quarterly versus annually, so they can have goals that they're, the thing that we've really transformed is the employee does a self-evaluation first, and then they present it to their attorney, and then the attorney does the evaluation. And during our onboarding process, they scan it and send it to me. And that's when I get on the Zoom and I help facilitate it and teach them how to, number one, be able to navigate it without having a negative, positive connotation.
That is so important. So important, because normally what happens, and I speak from experience because I'm guilty of it, you know, the review or the session devolves into you haven't met your goal, and now we're on a confrontational and antagonistic posture, and it's just not going to go well from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It takes all that out of there. And especially when you implement it quarterly, it really shifts where both the attorney as well as the employee are excited to be able to do that, because they know they're clear. Number one, you're doing it quarterly, but number two, you also are having your weekly, what we call board of directors meetings, where you're already checking in, or the employee is already communicating on where they're at with their goals for the quarter. And so by the time you get into that review, there's no anxiety about, oh boy, what were they supposed to do? Did they do it? Did they not? You're very clear and concise, and it always gives you an opportunity to up level. So the employee, in part of the self-evaluation, is where do you see yourself in 1 year? What are the top three things that you feel that you can create value for this firm? And they're already coming to you and saying things, giving you ideas where, wow, I never even thought of that. I think that's great. I'd like to implement an annual maintenance program. I'd like to implement blah, blah, blah. I think we should revise blah, 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 because it'll cut off 15 minutes of the process. And the attorney is just blown away by the insight and the innovation that comes to that. Again, for the right employee, it really is just fascinating to see the entire process just move from a place of dread and anxiety to inspiration and excitement.
And there you have it. You've created intrapreneurs who support the entrepreneurial effort.
Absolutely.
Well, Molly, I don't want to gush too much, but I think both parts of your business plan are nothing short of brilliant. I can't think of, you know, any law firm that wouldn't benefit from your expertise. I hope that you continue to grow and continue to expand and offer this as long as you want. We are going to include the URL for your website, Hiring and Empowering Solutions. But is there a particular way that you would like our audience to reach out to you if they want to follow up or address any of the points that you've made today?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a contact page on our website. If you want to fill that out, it comes directly to my email and we can set up a call. There's also a link to set up a complimentary 30-minute discovery call. I would love to have you do that if you want to just talk about what's working, what's not working in your business. And of course, you can always join our blog. We write a tremendous amount since 2008. We've been writing a tremendous amount of value add tips and techniques for small solo law firms.
And let's go ahead and plug your podcast as well.
Yes, please join us at Hiring and Empowering Solutions is the name of our podcast. There's a link on our website to join that as well. And we hope to have you as a guest someday, Neil, as well.
That would be lovely. And you can find that on iTunes and wherever good podcasts are available.
Yes.
Molly, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with us today. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them, and I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client, and then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So, very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.